Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, move in this place. Open our hearts, open our minds. God, speak to us now. Amen. So we are in a series called I Like Giving. And when I think of I Like Giving, for me personally, sometimes it feels like there's an asterisk there. I really like giving when I feel like I've got plenty of money and some extra resources and time, energy, and all that. But I don't like giving when I'm feeling stretched financially or with my time, my energy. I really like giving when I trust the organization I'm giving to. I really don't like giving if I've got concerns on how they're going to use my skills or my finances. I like giving when it's kind of my own idea and it kind of wells up from the Holy Spirit nudging me. I don't like giving when I'm not in the mood to give and all of a sudden this need is presented in front of me and all of a sudden I've got to make a quick decision. I wonder if you're like me, that we like giving in many ways, but then other times we struggle because we've had some negative experiences and some things have gone on, and sometimes we're uncomfortable around giving, and then therefore it kind of closes us off to a stance of generosity in those areas where we really could enjoy giving. So throughout this worship series, we're going to explore I Like Giving, and not just from a financial standpoint, but from the standpoint of how do we give our time, how do we give our energy, how do we make sure that we are continually people living in a stance of openness, being willing to be generous with all that we are. There's a book right now that we've based this worship series on called I Like Giving. And so you can buy a copy just outside for $6. We bought the used copies off Amazon to be better stewards of our resources. So you can get a book for $6. And in it is story after story of people just doing little things, of finding generosity, saying, oh, that person could use my gift. I'm going to go help them here. And it's just little stories that create a wellspring in us to find the joy of generosity. And we've also got some small groups starting at the same time. So I know some of you haven't connected to a Sunday school class or a small group. And this book is a great excuse to hop into a Sunday school class or a small group and just try it out for a little bit. And if at the end of the study, you're like, hey, I just wanted to study this book. Awesome. But you can also stick around in the small group too and focus on some relationships. So the book and those conversations in small group will inspire and cultivate this joy of generosity that we're going to seek throughout this month. And as we do that, of course, we turn to Scripture. Scripture is full of acts and stories of generosity. And what I find as I study the Scriptures, there seems to be this basic pattern that we find in the Scriptures. We see that God is a generous God. And then if we receive being aware of God's generosity, then we too become people who are generous, and that produces thanksgiving to God. It's a formula that we might try to live into throughout this series. God is generous, then we receive with awareness, then we too are generous, and in that it produces thanksgiving to God. And so we're going to look this morning at breaking down this formula, and I wonder if you might recognize that it's really all through the Scriptures. We'll start with that first part, God gives generously. Kind of at the core of our understanding, and when we read the book of Genesis, we're reminded that God gives generously. God is the one who creates out of nothingness. God didn't need to create us. God didn't have to create us for any reason, but God was extremely generous and created this beautiful world, gave us life. And then when we get to Jesus, we see that through Jesus, we have life and life abundant. We see that God is this generous giver through both creating life and then creating through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, this opportunity to be in a deep relationship with God. We see generosity over and over again through the Scriptures. And we find it also in the writings of Paul. The passage we're reading today is from 2 Corinthians. And I invite you, we're going to stay in 2 Corinthians the whole morning, so you're welcome to pull out your phone Bible or your pew Bible, but we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapters 9, and then just before is chapter 8, and Paul's also writing about generosity in that chapter as well. But Paul is writing this letter. Paul was a church planter, and he planted the church at Corinth, and he was there for a while, and he left. And so he has these letters that he writes back and forth to the church, and he's encouraging them in all areas of their discipleship. But in chapters 8 and 9, what he's telling them about is the fact that they are doing this big collection for the church in Jerusalem, specifically for the poor in Jerusalem. So Paul's writing this letter, and he's trying to cultivate an attitude of generosity and a joy of giving. And so he talks about God's generosity here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, the first part of the verse speaks to God's generosity. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. So here, Paul's saying, remember, God is the one providing for you. And then a couple verses later in verse 10, says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Here, once again, we get this idea, this reminder that God is the one providing. God provides the seeds. God provides the bread. God is the provider of life. And so once we start getting that, then we've also got to recognize that we've got to receive with awareness. And that's where it gets hard, right? Receiving with awareness. Sometimes we struggle with this because you and I often work really hard, right? We do all the right things. We wake up early. We come stay late. We invest time and energy and effort into school, into our careers. And oftentimes we kind of work our way up, and it's pretty darn nice. Like we get to a spot where we're like, okay, I'm feeling some of the fruits of my labor. And we get there, but we look back at our journey and we go, well, I did this, and I did this, and I worked hard here, and I did all the right things, and now I'm here. And when we do that, we become kind of stingy, right? Because we think that we were the ones who got us to where we are. And so we get stingy with what we have, and we go, well, I worked hard for this, so I'm not going to let anybody else get it. Or maybe I will every once in a while. I'll let it kind of trickle down, but it's not the ideal way to live, right? Sometimes we receive blessings, but we're not aware, and we become stingy. And other times we find ourselves going through life and doing all the right things, working extremely hard, but it seems like we get bad break after bad break after bad break. And so where we thought we'd be up here with our time, energy, efforts, talents, finances, we kind of feel like we're down here. And gosh, that just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right because we did all these things and other people are here and we're here. And if we find ourselves in that category, we just find ourselves also feeling kind of stingy, resentful to other people, and trying to hold on to what we have because we're scared we're going to lose it. And that doesn't seem like an ideal place to be either. I think this Corinthians struggled with that as well. And Paul has some words for them. Back to verse 8 that we read, but focusing more on the second part of the verse, it says, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance. So God was the one who gave, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. So that always having enough of everything. Sometimes we don't feel like we have enough, right? Feels like we're stressed at the end of the month with this or that. It feels like we don't have enough energy, enough finances. And then we kind of step back. And most of us have not had to worry about whether we had water, whether we had food, whether we had shelter. Oftentimes we take some of these things for granted, and the passage says that God has given us enough. And if we can get to that spot where we recognize God has given us enough, then it might change the way we receive. Because if we have received along the way and think we got up here, we might pause for a minute and look back. And then recognize all those blessings that we had in our life. Whether it was the parents or the grandparents that poured into us. Whether it was those teachers, those mentors. Maybe it was that connection that was just awesome, that helped you get that job, that got you into that other space. That big break that you felt, that you celebrated. Right? If we look back, we can see wherever we're at right now, God was a part of that journey. And it wasn't just us. It doesn't negate all the hard work we put into it, but we can look back and thank God for each one of those people, each one of those connections, each one of those blessings. And if we find ourselves kind of feeling low and feeling like we just don't have enough, we might look back and say, wow, God was part of that connection though, and God was here, and even though it felt like this was a horrible break and disaster, God helped me recover from it. And we change the way we receive. We start receiving with awareness, a sense of God's blessings in the midst of all of our lives. And once we recognize that what we have is a gift from God, then we start to give generously. And this is where it starts to get really fun, because it shifts our mindset, right? And so I appreciate what the Apostle Paul says here in verse 7. He says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, what I've learned throughout my life is that it helps if I make up my mind ahead of time before I give. If I'm thinking about my own spiritual journey and kind of my prayer time or the time I spend reading scripture, if I don't decide ahead of time how I'm going to give my time to God throughout the week, it gets eaten up, right? But if I'm intentional and say, I'm going to read this scripture, I'm going to do these prayer practices, I'm going to be involved in this study, if I decide ahead of time, then I start to give my time and my energy, and I start to see a change in my life. It's not just a haphazard type of thing, right? I'm sure you've recognized this when you volunteer. Every once in a while, you might volunteer for an hour or two here or there. But my guess is those times where you've had life-changing volunteer experiences, it's because you said, I've got these gifts, and I've got this time. And I'm going to show up on a consistent basis. And I'm going to pour into this week after week after week. And you've been able to see transformation, not just in your own life, but also in the lives of others. The Apostle Paul is saying, decide in your mind ahead of time what you can give. So what are your resources, time, talents, finances, right? Giving is the same way. It's one thing to decide as we budget to say, I'm going to give X amount of money to help these people. It feels drastically different if we haven't done that and then somebody taps us on the shoulder and says, hey man, you got $5 for a meal? Right? All of a sudden, we're a little more stingy. But what if we decide ahead of time how much we can do, give, and set that aside and we're ready to give? Right? In all aspects of our life, if we can be intentional about what we are going to give, setting aside our time, our talents, and our finances, things start happening. And we start giving cheerfully. Then we're excited to give, right? Then we're looking for opportunities and saying, this is how I'm going to give. This is how I'm going to make a difference. And when we start giving cheerfully, what happens is that God answers prayers through you. Like that's the end of the equation. We recognize that God is a generous giver. We have that awareness, and then we start giving generously, and then God starts answering prayers through you. Listen to this passage in chapter or verse 11. It says, you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. I love the second part of that. It will produce thanksgiving to God through us. See, your generosity increases other people's thanksgiving. So play with me for a second. I'm going to think about how God might answer prayers, right? We lift up prayers all the time, and we like to say we're praying people, but I'm curious how we think God answers prayers. Say there's a family in our community and a single mother who struggles to put food on her table. And each night she's praying, God, I'm trying my best, and I just struggle. I'm struggling. I don't know where our next meal is going to come from. And if she's lifting that up to God, there's a chance that God has this giant vending machine upstairs, right? And God gets off God's throne, and he goes to the vending machine. single mom needs food, B, eight, and all of a sudden this like meal drops out of this vending machine, goes through the clouds. There's got to be loop-de-loops in this analogy too, just for fun, right? And then all of a sudden they land, plop, on her dinner table. She goes, God, you answered my prayers. Right? There's probably not a high chance that that's the way it works. But the reality is that that mom is praying for the meal. And then when you're at the store, the Holy Spirit nudges you and says, buy this extra food and give it to CCA and others of you. You get this nudge and you say, I'm going to volunteer and I'm gonna sort cans at the food pantry. I'm going to work and give out the food. See, the Holy Spirit has nudged you, helped you recognize that God has gifted you and given you that awareness, and your generosity then is a part of the process to answering that mother's prayer. Right? There's teachers at Rockbrook Elementary that love their kids dearly. And they're praying for that little boy who just can't seem to get it right. Right? He's having trouble discipline and he's not at the right reading level. And the teacher's just praying and praying and praying for the kid. And God might walk up to the vending machine and go, see, eight perfect test scores. And it might come and plop into this kid's brain, but probably not. But you, in your generosity, go and you volunteer on a weekly basis. You work through sounding out words. You show patience. You give encouragement when the kid is acting out and you help correct him. And eventually, that teacher's prayer is answered. The parent's prayer is answered. See, there are prayers lifted up all the time. I talk to a number of people that talk about the difficulty of finding a church home. That it is hard to find a church family to connect with. But I wonder if the people who volunteer and give generously in Sunday school, the people who volunteer to be part of small groups or Sunday school classes for adults to establish those connections, the people who are part of greeting and welcoming and walking alongside people, I wonder if you are part of answering their prayers. See, God has a way of answering prayers often through our acts of generosity. And as I've talked to you who have searched through finding the right church home, and when you've landed here and you've made those connections with God and with others, you say, this was an answer to my prayers. Your generosity cultivates that experience and gives more and more praise to God. So I wonder for each and every one of us if we might live into this formula. Right, it works. God is a God of blessings. So we might think of blood drives. That's my crazy socks today are from Carter Blood, right? God created these crazy bodies that produce extra blood. And then we give generously, and there's somebody in a hospital room praying, hanging on for life. And when they receive that blood, it's a blessing. There's a coworker or somebody you interact with right now that is struggling. And they're praying that they just need somebody to support them, encourage them. And you, in your generosity, might be a part of answering that prayer. I wonder this week if you might play with that formula to ask God to show you those places of deep abundance in your life and to cultivate lives of generosity so that ultimately we're bringing more and more praise to God. Let's pray. God, you have blessed us in abundance in so many ways. And God, we are grateful for that. We pray that out of that abundance, we might celebrate who you are, be people who are generous with our thoughts, with our words, with our actions, with our resources. God, inspire that generosity within us so that more and more people can say, thank you, God. Amen. This morning, I want to, as we prepare for our offering, we've got a fun video for I Like Giving. This was Brooke and Chloe are two elementary students, and they put this wonderful ministry together, this opportunity. So I want you to see how they took the generosity that had been given to them, and they used that to bless others. So check out the video.
Well, it started at the gym with Chloe and her older sister Jane went to do a bake sale.
We wanted like to have a point of doing the bake sale. My family foster dogs and kittens, so we wanted to help Cartville Humane Society.
There's something that her family does called Hump Day Happy Hour, where on Wednesday the neighborhood gathers and they just have a fun time. So we started baking and we set up the bake sale there. And the first time that we did it, we did 3 samples, and that was like a huge hit. So we got like $57 on our first bake sale. By the time it was North Texas Giving Day, when they told us to donate, we got up to $140 to donate.
They're an organization of foster to adopt puppies and kittens.
And those for like buying supplies. And
so like dog food or like kitty litter or
toys. Also get to help people while we do it.
We want to change the impact on the world.
And also, while you're helping, you can also do things that you love to do.
You're doing fun and I like giving.
So in the same way, let those girls inspire us to find those places of generosity and those places where we can use our skills and our energy to cultivate lives of generosity. Would you now join with me in our prayer for the offering? You'll find the words on the screen. God, who gives generously, help us receive each gift with an awareness of your grace. Fill us with a generous spirit. Use our gifts to bring praise and glory to you. Amen.